Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner. It's Wednesday, July 29th, 2015. In my last podcast, I talked about the Hulu for News. And the idea there, briefly, was that the independent news organizations, the New York Magazines, the Washington Post, New York Times, The Economist, National Geographic, whatever, all of those together should form a service that is the analog to Hulu, as Hulu was an independent version of YouTube for the entertainment industry. The idea being that that Facebook won't be the only place people go for news. It's kind of like, think of it this way. It's like you get news in the airport lounge when you're waiting for a flight. Maybe that's what Facebook is. I mean, people are on Facebook, and as long as they're on Facebook, maybe they want news. We don't know how this stuff is going to shake out. And so to think it at this point, when we have not even begun to approach shakeout point, barely scratched the surface in terms of what the net can do with news, largely because of the reluctance of the news industry to experiment and to try out new ideas, the technology is far ahead of where the publishing organizations are. So that was one perspective. That was the point of view of the news organizations. Today, I want to look at it from the point of view of Twitter, and a wholly different perspective. In this case, the growth path isn't, well, maybe you could think of it this way. Maybe Twitter's goal is to be the Hulu of the news industry, to Facebook's, whatever it is that Facebook is becoming. So let's talk about this for a minute. And Facebook, as I see it, is very deliberately marching into territory that really belongs to Twitter. I mean, Twitter has become sort of the pulse of the news industry, the news world. Much, much more so than Facebook has. I know that there are quite a few news people on Facebook, but most of them aren't. They have accounts, but they don't use them. They aren't present there. I don't see their posts. I don't see people talking about their posts. I don't see people talking about news that much on Facebook. Facebook is about, here's the vacation I took with my family. That's kind of, look at how my life is going, I'm happy, and here I am with a friend. Or, I'm very upset about this, and I'm looking for moral support from people in my close circle of friends, online friends. That's what you see on Facebook. You see social, it's seriously social, and it's not so much news. Twitter is, if something, a news story is breaking, I go to three places. I go to Twitter, I go to Google News, and I go to Google News and I type in keywords related to the news story that I think is breaking, and they very often will find me a pointer to an actual story about this more quickly than Twitter will. And Twitter is hit or miss. Maybe I'm not following the right people, maybe I didn't tune in at the right moment, or maybe I did, but I didn't see everything that was out there. So I go to Google News, and then I go to my river of news, and that would be where it would be on a slightly longer fuse than Twitter, about the same fuse that Google News is on, meaning that it takes about as long for my river to react to a news story as it takes Google News to do. Because I've programmed it to look at a lot of different news feeds, and when I find a new one that seems to be catching stuff that I'm not getting, I'm very liberal about subscribing to feeds. It's a very, very cheap thing for me to do. But Facebook is not even on the radar. I don't expect Facebook to catch the story for hours and hours and hours, and at that point it won't be a news story anymore, and they won't really have caught it. It just doesn't do it for news. Now, that's not saying Facebook accepts this. Facebook is working quietly with news organizations, building new functionality, new apps. It's not all coming into the Facebook timeline, at least not to begin with. And so the question is then, what should Twitter do? And I think the answer is incredibly simple. I mean, it's just so very little needs to be done. It's almost as if by withholding the improvements, Twitter is just basically steering Facebook right into its market, because the things that Facebook has realized, and it's really, you just have to use Facebook to actually get this. You don't have to be privy to all of the data that they capture, although I've been told that the data shows it even more dramatically. You just have to use it. And here's the key thing. That if a story requires the user to click a link to read it, it will be a fraction, a very small fraction, as effective as it would be as if the full text of the story was sitting right there for the user to read. And there are probably a lot of reasons for this. It's not just that it's all going mobile, and that the latency of an internet connection on mobile is a lot longer than it is on a desktop internet connection. I'm sure that's true, but I don't think that's the reason why. I mean, it's one of the reasons why. It's not the reason why. But it's also because we know from experience, we've been trained, that the user experience of what you get when you click on the link is anywhere from acceptable to a fucking nightmare. It's like opening the door to hell by clicking on a link. You just all of a sudden you're assaulted by all this extraneous bullshit. They give you a pitch, and you know, all right, I know this is link bait. I'm sure it's not going to measure up to everything that they say is going to be, but I'm interested. Okay, I'll click. Nightmare. It's like Charlie Brown and the football, and after a while you just learn that there's a big cost associated with that click, and you don't do it. You know, or maybe you learn where you can do it. Like Forbes, for example. I see a link to a Forbes article. No. The Economist? Fuck no. I mean, The Economist, for such an intelligent publication, just completely litters the user experience with all kinds of garbage. And lately, they've actually put a paywall in there so that 9 times out of 10 when you click a link, you don't even get to read the article anymore. So, I mean, there's a case where I really, really, really regret having subscribed to it. And when Facebook forces them to post to Facebook's timeline, which in net effect is what Facebook hopes to do, right? I mean, this is where Facebook would like that. This is where they'd like the end game for news to be, which is basically fuck everything else, just publish it to Facebook and you're done, right? Not necessarily a good outcome for the rest of us, but it's clear, well, maybe not the worst, because at least they cure us of this whole thing, because Facebook has no interest in putting this kind of a tariff on reading a story. What they want is a smooth user experience, and they want you to sort of zone out if you don't mind, so that you can pay attention to their ads. Or who knows what else they want, but they don't necessarily have to present you with a nightmare, at least not yet. So back to Twitter. Well, then if Facebook has realized this, Twitter can only realize it by learning from Facebook, because there is no ability for Twitter to include a full text of an article on Twitter. And there you have it. This is the very kind thing that Twitter is doing for Facebook. They're saying, please, Facebook, come become what we should have been and what we could be if we just eased this one simple restriction on our product. But because we promised our users we would never, ever do this in a million years, but of course we didn't really promise them that. We just sort of implied it, and honestly, we kind of believe that nobody ever needs more than 140 characters to express an idea, which makes me, of course, want to strangle them. Not literally, figuratively. I mean, who comes up with this shit? I mean, where, what, just, it boggles the mind to think that you could come to the conclusion that human communication is possible in 140 character bytes. I mean, it was a hook. It certainly served its purpose in the beginning to get people to understand how Twitter was different from a blog. It created the idea that blog posts and Twitter posts were not the same thing. This was some new experience that was different from blogging. You know, sort of like blogging, but also like chat, you know? I mean, and they accomplished it. That was 9 years ago. 9 years Twitter's been around. I think they made the point. And I think that now, really, there are just a small number of things that Twitter needs to do. It need not take very long. And then they can coast for a while. And the first thing they have to do is they have to find a way to explain to users that it's okay if a tweet has more than 140 characters, because what we've done is we've set it up so that there's this nice little wedge. We show you the first 140 characters of whatever it is the person has written, and that is above the wedge and a very, very faint gray line that goes across underneath it. Probably should just draw a picture of this and put this in with this podcast, okay? And if you see the wedge, well, you always see the wedge. The wedge will either be black or it'll be gray, okay? And the line will always be there, too. The line is a fixture. So you've got, you know, here's what your tweet looks like. You've got the first 140 characters, and if there aren't any more characters, that's all there is, plus there's the wedge and the line that goes across. And so that's sort of like delineates the, that's like the fold. That's the equivalent of the fold of the newspaper. If you see the thing's black, if you want to read more, you click it. Flips the wedge flips down, and the gray line flips all the way to the bottom, and you fill in the full text of the article. And the article can contain very simple markup. It can have bold, italic, linking. That's about it. And if you want, you can make the first 140 characters be a title. And that's it. And you get rid of the link at the end of the tweet, which is also an anachronism. It's really ugly, and it's totally unnecessary. Not if the text that you have can be a link, right? I mean, if you can put links in your text, why do I need to have a URL dangling off the end of it? I mean, that's an eyesore, and that should really bother people. It shouldn't be there anymore. It's, you know, for the 10th anniversary of Twitter, let's have that go away too, all right? Okay, so that's the first change. The first change is a very, very simple one. It should make everybody happy. Well, you still have the 140 character limit. You still have the brevity. You still have an incentive for writers, by the way, to communicate the core of the idea in the first 140 characters, because that's all that you're guaranteed the people will see. To the extent that you're guaranteed that anybody will see anything on Twitter. Okay? I don't think there's anything controversial about this, honestly. I get why it's important to have uniform size of objects in a river. I mean, if you go look at my rivers, I do that too. I don't allow unlimited length. I actually truncate things at, I think, 240 characters, 280 characters, something like that, 300 characters, whatever. And, you know, but that bit about expanding and collapsing at the bottom, that will be gold. That's just simply going to work. It's going to be fine. Nobody, I think if you explain it the right way, kind of the way I explain it here. Hey, look, if we don't do this, you're going to get it on Facebook. This is the way the world works. This is where we're going. And you need to be able to get that full text in there for mobile users. That's it. You know, side benefit, end of the nightmare. Now you can read an Economist article without getting pitched if they want to participate. They don't have to if they want to. Okay, so the next thing is, the next problem. There is another problem, and it's thankfully very easy to fix also. Problem is developers. And there are two things of problems with developers relative to Twitter. The first one's famous. Everybody knows about this one. The second one people don't know about. All right, so first the famous one. Famous one is sometime 3 years ago or whatever, Twitter, in kind of a mindless, bumbling way, decided they needed to make a change, and they couldn't find anything else to change, so they blew up the developers. That's the way I look at it. I don't think there was any real clear understanding inside of the company why blowing up the developers would be a good thing for Twitter, and I don't think it was. I think there would be a lot of other ways for Twitter to have what they said that they wanted, which actually seemed like a reasonable thing, is they wanted to only have one or two or three clients in the Apple App Store that were used to access Twitter so that people wouldn't be confused about what to use. And, I mean, I think the very simplest way to do that would have just been to use trademarks and say, you know, there's only one Twitter client. You're allowed to say that your client works with Twitter, but you can't say that it is Twitter. And it would have been controversial. The developers would have bitched and moaned like crazy. They would have said, you're killing us, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, you wouldn't have been killing anybody. Everybody would have been allowed to keep going. And and we might have seen some forward motion where we haven't seen any. Well, it's water under the bridge. It's done. What's done is done. And now it needs to be undone. And in order to undo that, because you really do need to have the crazy cacophony of an independent developer community out there pushing the envelope in ways that your internal developers can't because they're subject to the internal politics of a very large company. It's always been this way. The wild and crazy ideas come from out of left field from people you've never heard of. And the people who you think should be able to figure things out, you know, well, when they were wild and crazy, they did. But once they become part of the establishment, establishment, it's a 1960s word, but it still works, then things are different. And their goals and their motives and everything change. And we've been stuck with that in the Twitter world for 3 years or however long. And because there really hasn't been a lot of creative thinking amongst developers because they have this creative roadblock in there which says, hey, if I come up with a good idea, I can't make anything happen, right? It's not exactly true, by the way. The way they've set it up, it's not entirely true that, you know, all avenues of creativity are cut off. But if there's a feeling that it's that way, it might as well be that way because it has the same net effect. Okay. So Twitter has to do something there, make some gesture to developers that says, not only are we no longer standing in your way, and by the way, we're sorry, an apology here would really be important. You know, an admission of that they made a mistake, and they, because it has to be, this is part of the of making it unretractable. If you apologize for it and admit that it was wrong, if you ever try to do it again, the fact that you said it was wrong is going to come back right between your eyes. So it's a good way of being, of kind of guaranteeing you won't do it again, okay? So that's, but that's not good enough. It has to be something more than that. It has to be unretractable. It has to be, Twitter has to put some skin in the game and say, well, we're going to let developers play here. And in order for that to for them to feel comfortable doing that, we're going to somehow make it so that we can't retract the that ability, that it's contractual, or that through an open source license that can't be retracted, like an MIT license, some intellectual property is put out there that belongs to Twitter that now is going to belong to the world. In other words, Twitter has always had the opportunity to create new open standards. They could have done that. And in doing so, lost control of the market, but the theory being it would have been a much bigger market. and that they could effectively have leadership of that market, which would in turn be worth more than control of a much smaller market. So it's either leadership or control. You know, there are lots of examples of this. A classic one is when Apple went to Mac OS X, which is a built on free BSD, and then their core on top of it, I believe, was also open sourced. Then you could say, well, basically, we've set it up so that anybody can build a Mac OS, you know? And I think technically anybody could have. But Apple was such a strong leader in its own market that it would have been pointless. Nobody would have bought their product. You mean it doesn't run Mac software? Okay, well, nice idea, but not for us. And the running Mac software thing is a psychological thing also, okay? So let's just say Twitter has to do several things that take it out of control over the aftermarket for Twitter products. They can retain trademark, and I would strongly recommend very aggressive control of trademark, so that you can't imply in any way that this is your product is a Twitter branded product. You can't do that, but you can be compatible and you can go wherever you want. And this is very important, without restrictions and without constraints. And how much you can do without Twitter interfering sort of is a measure of how much they believe can be done with Twitter as a platform. And so that's the first half of the developer formula or whatever, recommendation. The second half, and this is the part that the people in general, I think, don't understand, is that the Twitter API is not as complete and not as powerful or as simple, I mean, as the Facebook API. Now, when I said both not as powerful and as simple, that's a huge problem, because in technology, usually there's a trade-off. And the trade-off is you trade off power for simplicity or accessibility or ease of use. There are lots of different sort of sub-vectors for the other side of power. In other words, if I take power out, I can simplify, but in the process, I remove power. So it's sort of like in a airplane, in a glider. You can either have height or you can have speed, and you can translate the two. If you're very high up, go into a nosedive. You'll go very fast. Or if you're paralleling the ground, going very fast, set your your flaps in such a way so that you go straight up. Well, eventually you'll stop, because you'll go as far as that energy could carry you, and then you'll start to come down, you know. So in software, there's the equivalent to the speed versus height in flying, and that is ease of use versus power. However, there are times when you get both power and ease of use. And Facebook, believe it or not, with their API, has that advantage. It's both easier to use and more powerful. And that's not a good situation for Twitter, and they need to fix this. And luckily, it's not very hard to fix. The reason, I mean, let me give you the data on it. All right. So in April of 2014, last year, I decided to bite the bullet and said I absolutely have to have Twitter. I have to have glue for the Twitter API for the Node.js work that I'm doing. I had, basically decided to let Twitter kill my apps. So when they did that big corner turn, I said, I'm just going to stop maintaining my Twitter code, and someday this is all going to break. And when it does, that's that. I'm not investing any more in this API because of, I don't believe it has a future. And eventually all the stuff did break. And now I had transitioned from Frontier to Node.js, and I it just became inescapable. I had to have Twitter support, so I started, and it took me about 2 months from beginning to end, from zero to having a complete set of functionality that covered the Twitter API. And it was a hard 2 months. It involved a lot of learning and a lot of coding. It was very painful because I was redoing stuff that initially, when I first did it, in the early days of Twitter, had literally taken me hours, if that, to do what I did in 2 months, because that's how much more complicated the Twitter API had become in the intervening years, and with no more functionality, well, a little bit more. And I'm not complaining about that, I'm just saying it was took a lot longer, it did get more complex, and it took about 2 months. So then, shortly after that, I got interested in Facebook, and then shortly after that, I decided to bite the bullet. I said, I need to do the same thing that I just did with Twitter, I need to do it with Facebook. And I rolled up my sleeves and I got started, and I figured it would take 2 months to do it. No, it took 2 days to do it. Why? Because they had done most of the work for me. Their model of development was exactly my model of development, and they built glue that runs in the browser, written in JavaScript, that makes talking to their API as simple as the pile of software that I created for Twitter makes it. In other words, they built what I had built. I spent that 2 months building a layer that made the Twitter API brain dead simple for me to use. Just reduced it down to a few simple calls. Well, didn't have to do that with Facebook. They did it for me. And wow, what a difference. Now, I gotta say, and this is what people don't know, and if you haven't been developing for Twitter and Facebook, you have to be having developed for both, and maybe there are no people at Twitter that do that. Maybe there are no people at Facebook that develop for Twitter. Maybe neither company knows that Facebook has such a big advantage, but they do. And that gap has to be closed. And number one, number two is luckily Facebook left something very important out of their API, and that's storage. Every app needs storage. Even if you're just building a trivial extension to Facebook, you still need the ability to store data. And Facebook, with their massive server farms and huge scale that they operate at, could very easily provide a limited amount of storage per user for an application. And I'm assuming Twitter could do that as well. But neither of them do. My software does. I hook Amazon S3 up to the Twitter API, and it just comes for free with support. It's called Node Storage. And excuse me, at this point, it only runs with Twitter API. So, and when I say that this could be done, I speak with absolute certainty because I have it working. So, how long would all this take? Well, I don't know. If they wanted to use my software, which is MIT licensed, not very long. If they wanted to write their own, 2 months. Either way. I mean, all right, maybe a little bit longer to do the QA or who knows, whatever else. Maybe make it 6 months. But within 6 months, you could have the API up to parity with Facebook's, and that's not bad. That's not a big problem. That's a little problem. And then, with the developer situation all cleaned up, and do the best you can. I mean, all right, there are still going to be a lot of grumbling out there, a lot of people saying, well, I'll never trust them, blah, blah, blah. Well, there is no single voice for developers. There's no, you don't have to get 100% of them in order to win. You just need to get a few good ones to get the ball rolling, and you'll do the best you can, and if it doesn't work, then you have to go back and rethink it again, okay? But you have to do the minimum amount there, and you have to go with a reasonable proposal to the publishers that say, we want to be the Hulu for news. We want to be the place where your news appears, where and we will be friendly to you where Facebook is going to be predatory. And that's it. Now you have to figure out how to do that. how to set that up. And it's the same kind of deal you have to do with the developers. What you have to do is you have to give them something that makes it possible for them to trust you, even if you get acquired, even if there's a management change. These are all the kinds of things that smart people are wary of. They've heard it all before. And, you know, there are all kinds of things that can change. You have to be able to make promises that the other guys won't make. And Facebook won't make those promises. They don't have to. But Twitter is in a different situation. So that's all. I mean, and okay, having set the course, now it takes 2 or 3 years. Let's see what happens. And let's work with those partnerships. And let's define what we do as being just this narrow. And you hope for the best. I mean, that's how this game ultimately is played. So I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it takes a long time. And but you have to start soon. You have to start now. So those are my 2 or 3 points, however many points it was. I don't think it's hard. So there you go. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.